The Tom Woods Show, episode 2266.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. We all know it is time for us to break up, but everybody's status quo bias is standing in the way of this obvious and humane solution. Check out my brand new ebook called National Divorce: The Peaceful Solution to Irreconcilable Differences, which you can get for free at nationaldivorce.com. Hey, everybody, Tom Woods here. I'm joined today by Aaron Lamb, who is, you know what, Aaron, I should know this, given that I'm hosting this program. You are the mayor of, tell me again where it is?
Keensburg, Colorado.
Keensburg, Colorado. Population what?
Roughly 2,000.
2,000. You are the mayor, though. You are the man. And I want to talk about that, of course. And of course, you're a libertarian. We're going to talk about your background.
Mm-hmm.
But also, just very quickly, where is that in relation to places in Colorado we might be more familiar with?
It's northeast of the Denver metro by about 40 minutes. It's actually due north of the Denver International Airport. And we're closer to that airport than Denver is itself.
How close are you to Wyoming?
About an hour and a half to Cheyenne.
Okay. Okay. That's interesting. Because I took a trip to Wyoming in 2020 because there was nothing else to do. And I hadn't gone to Wyoming before. Anyway, it's a very outdoorsy kind of place. And so it was still kind of more or less open for business. And we did actually pass through Colorado a little bit while we were there. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My travel itinerary is not important. Let's talk about you and your evolution. So you were, it looks like a Ron Paul person, but were you a libertarian already when you heard about him? Like, what's your, I hate to use the term conversion story, but you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. I started off my political evolution as a Republican. I grew up in an area that was pretty split. My grandparents, for instance, one was a Democrat, the other was a Republican. Neither of them ever voted because they knew that they were just going to cancel each other out. It was a waste of their time. But the kind of the community that I was in with our churches were very conservative and, you know, in that kind of wing of the Republican Party. So you know, definitely supported George W. Bush, supported John McCain when he ran. And then it was around that time that I discovered Ron Paul. And on my dorm floor, my freshman year, I had a couple guys that were just diehard, you know, trying to get everybody into Ron Paul and trying to spread that message. And I thought they were kind of kooky and didn't really look into it too much. And then when I was in nursing school at Liberty University, I was in a nursing research class where we had to have a class project. We had two other people in that group. One had failed out of college before. This was kind of his second chance. He did way too much partying. And then the other went to a very conservative Christian high school. So he and I thought it would be funny if we did our topic on medical marijuana so that this naive lady would have to say marijuana in front of the class the whole time and be embarrassed. And lo and behold, doing the research, seeing the hundreds of articles advocating for the efficacy for marijuana for a variety of medical conditions, it struck me that the FDA is lying to us and that there is some corruption given that they view marijuana as a substance of high abuse potential, no medical value, and of high addictive quality, when all of the research that I had seen with my own eyes indicated the contrary. So I, at that point, coming into Ron Paul's 2012 campaign, so was much more open to these ideas. In that meantime, actually discovered you, discovered quite a few other liberty-minded people such as Peter Schiff, Walter Block, Lou Rockwell, of course, became a daily reader of his website, and never looked back. Very much dove into that side of things. I wasn't convinced yet to become a libertarian, as I was very hopeful of Ron Paul's campaign in the Republican Party, became a state delegate for Virginia at that point, helped to get a couple of our people down to convention. And then, of course, seeing what happened in Florida with just, in my opinion, was atrocious what they did to Dr. Paul, that completely soured me on the Republican Party forever.
Well, I think a lot of people share that view, but there was so, so much anger and frustration at that point. Now, by the way, so you were a Virginian, if I'm getting this right. So you were Virginia, then you moved to Colorado?
Yeah, I was actually born and raised in West Virginia and then went to regular Virginia to Liberty University before moving out to Colorado.
Okay. Okay. So that's what it is. All right. So you move out to Colorado. When's this?
That's about 2014.
Okay. And I guess at some point you became part of the Libertarian Party.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was in fall, late summer of 2018 when I became convinced. I, in those intervening years since coming to Colorado, discovered Dave Smith. It might have been actually when you had him on your show, and then became an avid follower of his, watching every episode that he puts out. Also, of course, Michael Malice, the great Michael Malice that you've had on several times, and kind of got into that realm of things. But it was in the summer of 2018 that Dave Smith decided to join the Libertarian Party and put out a video encouraging all of us small L libertarians to actually join the Libertarian National Party and join our state parties and begin the takeover through the Mises Caucus.
And indeed, that happened. But that happens a little bit later. I don't want to get too far ahead here.
Sure.
Well, I want to talk about your primary profession, because
certainly
you're involved, I guess, in healthcare, which means we all know what that means in the, over the mm-hmm. past couple of years, what you would have been subjected to and what they would have demanded of you.
Certainly. So I never liked working in the hospital. Liberty has a great nursing program, had 850 clinical hours, was in every floor, every wing. Definitely enjoyed things like surgery, mental health, the psych unit, but seeing how each unit had its hierarchy and there was so much just drama between night shift and day shift and all of that stuff just never appealed to me. And then my senior year took a community nursing class, which I learned about everything else that you can do with the nursing degree. So that's really been my passion and my focus. I'd worked for 4 summers at a summer camp as a camp nurse and led backpacking trips, and in the off season would do corporate wellness events and different things along those lines. And then I really specialized in case management and working with former nuclear workers for a time, working with veterans through the VA, unfortunately, and seeing all of that mismanagement and just terrible care firsthand, but was actually providing the direct care to different claimants. But unfortunately, as so many others, I chose not to take the shot that was being mandated by my employer. So rather than fire me, they placed me on an indefinite leave of absence to avoid paying out any kind of insurance support that they would be required to otherwise. So then that kind of forced my hand to go into different areas. Now I've been doing remote case management, primarily focusing on workman's compensation ever since.
Okay. And has it more or less, I don't know, I mean, like I know some people have lost entire careers. They've lost a fortune. They've lost opportunities. Their careers have just been stopped. Like, I can think of Clifton Duncan on Broadway. I mean, his
sure.
career just basically came to an end.
Mm-hmm.
You seem to have been a little bit more fortunate, but I'm sure it was still an ordeal to have to endure this. And I mean, the whole thing is just awful, because I'm just trying to imagine what it would be like to be around people all the time. And then all of a sudden, this arbitrary requirement is made of me, and none of them care. If anything, I've become the enemy. Is that what happened to you?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, I again, going through nursing school, one of the very basic principles that we learn early on is universal precautions and what types of PPE is necessary for different kinds of situations. And I knew very, very early on in the pandemic, when they were going to the different masking, and then didn't even talk about the N95s until much later. But of course, now we know with all the lies that Fauci has had in that regard. But I never bought into it from the very beginning. And unfortunately, my supervisors and the leadership of that company 100% did. And they were constantly pushing the blame onto the state. This is what they are requiring of us, and you just have to do it. And occasionally I could pin one down and they would say something that made me think that they didn't actually believe that, but they were still going along with it. But ultimately, that company required that I submit a exemption request. So I wrote a very serious religious exemption. And our board of lawyers that runs that company took literally 5 minutes to deny it. So I knew that it wasn't serious.
Yeah.
This was just another formality. And like you said, it definitely was stressful. I mean, of course, to my wife as well. We had just bought a home. We were looking to start a family. And this certainly could have put some serious problems and breaks to those plans. But fortunately, in the field of nursing, every job I've ever worked, we've needed more nurses. So it was pretty quick. I mean, within 2 or 3 days, I had hopped back in with some of my former corporate wellness companies that didn't have any sort of requirement regarding vaccination. The most they had is some of their customers, like the University of Colorado and some of these larger organizations required that everyone came in with the vaccinations, but I was could just not work those events. And there was plenty of others, probably 70% of the other clients didn't care and just still wanted the services. So that kind of helped me smooth over for a couple weeks until I got with the company that I am now, which is full-time and remote, which has always been my goal, is that I would love to be able to raise my daughter and not have to put her through the school system. And certainly a great route to do that is if I can work remotely.
Right. Well, so and as we say, at least it worked out for you in some way as compared to a lot of other folks. But still, it's unbelievable what people had to go through. But yet, here's the interesting thing. You get out of the Denver metro area and you make your way to Keensburg. And I'm sure it never occurred to you as you moved into this small town that before long you would be the mayor.
I never would have guessed.
That would be the last thing that would occur to you, right?
Sure. I must say that I did do some research when we were doing our housing search in the spring of 2021. We had decided on Weld County, which is where Keensburg is located, for two main reasons. One, they stood up to the COVID regime. And there were several businesses that the state had to come in and shut down because the county said, we're not going to do it. You know, we'll let people operate their businesses as they see fit. And on top of that, with the red flag laws that passed several years ago, and then last summer with the passing of the magazine restrictions and allowing towns in Colorado to pass even more restrictive gun laws, but not allowing towns to lessen the restrictions, really just a one-way ratchet for gun control. There were many counties in Colorado, Weld being one, that stood up and used the leftist language against them and said, we are a sanctuary county for the Second Amendment. So our Sheriff Reams was one of those, and I mean, made national news, was on a lot of the big news programs. And fortunately, the county commissioners backed him fully. And that was the first time. Then again, it was confirmed that they still feel this way most recently last year. So I knew that this would be a good place for just liberty-minded people. And I knew the demographics of our county are very heavily conservative and more lean that direction. So I did do a little bit of research. And when we were looking at kind of narrowing down what towns that we were looking at, I saw how, I mean, quite frankly, surprising with the last election, because in 2020, when the former incumbent mayor was reelected, he won 126-82. And again, a town of 2,000 people, I mean, that's embarrassingly low for a voter turnout. So I kind of thought that this was an opportunity, a possibility, but never really seriously considered it until later on.
Okay. Yeah. So you were just elected this past November.
Yes, sir.
So are you officially in office now?
Yes. Yeah, I took office December the 5th, was sworn in, and then immediately started running the meeting. And most fortunately, it wasn't just myself that was elected. We also had 3 board of trustee positions that were open, and I got all 3 of my allies in. So we do have majority on the board as well.
What do you attribute this to? I mean, you didn't have any political experience, I assume, right?
No, none.
So, I mean, did you run on a platform and did you run on an ideological platform, or was it just a matter of, like, for example, I remember when back around 1990, Howard Stern wanted to run for, I think it was, he was going to run for governor of New York, not mayor of New York City. I think he was going to run for governor of New York. And he ran on the Libertarian Party ticket. And I doubt he's actually a libertarian, but
sure.
He basically just said, all right, I've got there are 3 things I'm focusing on. One, I think it was bring back the death penalty. The second was the road work should be done at night, and that will help deal with some of the congestion we have. And I forget what the third one was, but it was that. So if you asked him about other things, he would answer. But he basically was just focusing on things that a lot of people in their gut felt like should happen. So was that kind of like what you did?
Well, as much as I hate being compared to Howard Stern, unfortunately, yes. I mean, that really is the best model, in my opinion, is in our town. I mean, my kind of story, every single person that you talk to and you tell them you're running for mayor, they're like, you know, why? Well, why do you want to do this? And I attended one of the board meetings last year after our town raised the water rate by 30% in 1 month. So my wife and I went, of course, to complain and see what the reason for this was. I mean, we already had the second highest cost for water in our entire county. And, you know, raising it 30% just made it that much more ridiculous. And they didn't really have a good reason. They said, well, we haven't done it for a while, so we think it needs to happen. We think it's time. And additionally, they at the same meeting were talking about bringing a police force to our town, and we never had in the town history. And then I found out that they were trying to grow our town from about 1,200 homes to 13,700 within about a 5-year time frame. And a lot of people in town were unaware of that level of growth. Most people thought it was 2 or 3,000 new homes, a couple new subdivisions. But every single person that found out it was that many were appalled, because I mean, my wife and I chose this town for the small town community feel. There's so many wonderful events. We have a 4th of July parade. We have the only rodeo in Colorado that is not funded by taxpayer money. And they advertise that all over, Christmas parade, Oktoberfest, just all these kind of events that bring the community together. And with attending those, I mean, it's wonderful. You always see the same people. It's your neighbors. And everybody in our town knows that if we multiply by this amount, that there's no way that we can maintain that small town community feel. And another huge issue, I mean, again, with the water rate going up 30%, is just the water itself. I'm not sure if you know, but in Colorado, water is a huge, huge deal with between the farming, the oil and gas, using it for fracking, of course, the towns that are growing. There's just not enough. And a lot of people, including myself, didn't believe that the previous board and mayor were accurately portraying what kind of growth that we could maintain, specifically in regards to the water. And so getting back to your question, those were my two issues. I very rarely brought up anything else. And of course, the one or two libertarians in town that I met that saw my appearance on the Free State Colorado podcast with Brandon Wark were so excited. Like, oh my goodness, a libertarian is running here. You know, what can I do to help? You know, and just were very, very supportive.
So is it a nonpartisan election? Mm-hmm. I mean, did you have a party affiliation?
No, yeah. Most of the municipal races in Colorado, especially for the smaller towns, are nonpartisan, which is part of what I think is so important, is that most people in our town are Republicans, probably 70, 80%, I would estimate. And so I kind of already knew the angle that to approach them, giving my own background. And the few people that found out I was a libertarian didn't care, because to most average Republicans, libertarians are at worst an ally, you know, a potential ally. So it was always very easy to bridge that gap.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. By the way, you need to add your photo to the Town of Keensburg website.
Yes.
Under Board of Trustees.
Yes.
It says Mayor Aaron Lamb, and it says photo coming soon. Get cracking on that thing. I want to see your photo on this site.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll have to speak with her clerk to see if she can get that up.
Hey, folks, quick sponsor message. If you're like me, you feel like no sooner have you completed one meal when somehow already it's time to prepare the next one. Well, what if you had a nice big bundle of juicy, tender, and flavorful Omaha steaks at the ready? My family's been ordering from Omaha Steaks since probably around the time of the first Ron Paul presidential campaign. Super convenient, great value, and absolutely delicious. They have everything from perfectly aged, tender steaks to juicy burgers, decadent desserts, classic comfort meals, everything you need for a romantic Valentine's Day dinner, for a whole bunch of people coming over to watch a game, or even just for a regular weekday night. Every time you order from Omaha Steaks, you are getting 5 generations of family-owned expertise. Not to mention, steak is fast becoming the most politically incorrect meal there is, so that's all the more reason to stock up on Omaha Steaks. Plus, with this special offer, visit omahasteaks.com and enter Woods at checkout to get $30 off your order. So do what the Woodses do. Stock up on Omaha Steaks. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code Woods at checkout to get an extra $30 off your order. You're already saving up to 55% on select Omaha Steaks customer favorites, but now you can save an extra $30 off your order when you go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code Woods at checkout. Minimum order may be required. So do you have advice for people about this, you know, about doing something like this?
Without a doubt. I really believe that this is the way that we as libertarians can have an impact. I mean, one of the biggest refrains that I'm sure your listeners have heard, if they're trying to talk to their Republican friends and get them to become libertarians or consider voting for a libertarian candidate as well, I agree with a lot of what they say, but libertarians can't win anything. And that's because so much of our focus, you know, the National Party's focus has been on these national federal elections or state level, you know, the governor or the treasurer, or the state clerk. But these races are so stacked against us that it's a waste of resources. And I think that's evidenced by what little success that we've had at any of those levels. Whereas if you go to a small town, again, 2,000-3,000 people, you are able to do so much more to make an impact. I mean, for instance, in Keensburg, we are on the southwest corner of Weld County, kind of in the middle of nowhere, essentially. It's a reliably Republican town and a Republican county. So the Republicans never do any campaigning here because they already know that they're going to get their votes. The Democrats ignore us as well because it's a waste of their time. So these types of towns that have that combination of factors make it incredibly easy to have a huge impact just with the traditional campaigning methods. Door knocking, I couldn't tell you. I probably had 200 people. Not when I knocked on their doors, said this is the first time any politician or any person ever running for office has knocked on their door. And seeing them having that conversation was very impactful.
Yeah, I can imagine. So, okay, let me say some practical things. How long is your term?
4 years.
4 years?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good for you. Are you allowed to run for re-election?
Yes, so we have no term limits in our town.
Oh my gosh, you could be the king of this town. You know, yeah. No, you know, de facto, right?
Of course. Well, Tom, I mean, the Libertarian Party, my friends in our the Colorado Party, have already declared me the king of Keensburg, and we had a holiday party a couple weeks ago, and they had this big award ceremony and gave me a crown from the Dollar Tree or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't be your opponent in 2026. Is going to get that photo of you in the crown. So just watch it.
Sure.
So let's talk a little bit about the actual campaign. Again, you're somebody without any political experience, and yet you won, let's face it, a landslide victory for mayor. So what can you tell us about what worked or what didn't work? I mean, I guess you must have been, with a race like this, you're not going to have a big slate of consultants and a highly paid campaign manager. You're probably running the whole thing yourself, learning as you go. What did you learn?
You're exactly right. And that, as you asked earlier, this is my first foray into politics. So it was somewhat intimidating. I mean, of course, with all the campaign finance laws and having to jump through the hoops and try to figure everything out. And one of the bigger challenges is that for small towns like Keensburg, there's not really much available online to kind of give you any direction for planning when that you get your packet, how many signatures you need, forming a campaign finance committee. I mean, that was a huge hurdle. And what was pretty funny is every town has their own ordinances to govern these types of elections. And our town doesn't have anything about campaign finance. So I, as according to my town clerk, am the first person in history to form a committee and even accept donations. And the amount of money that I received was surprising. I believe I got about $2,200 or so. And the amount that I actually needed to win was closer to $1,200, $1,300. And the big part of that was spent on yard signs, which again, in much larger cities, say Denver or other metros, yard signs aren't really useful unless you're already in that party. But when you're in a place like my town where my opponent didn't have a single sign made until after I had all 100 of my yard signs out for 3 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just had a huge jump on him in that regard. He had no idea what was coming. He had never tried before. I mean, in these type of elections, he never needed to. It was, again, you know, in his last election, he won 126-82 against somebody that didn't even run, you know, put their name on as a protest, and that was it. So that specifically was huge. Of course, door knocking was a major part of my success. So many people said, oh yeah, I saw your yard sign. I looked up your website. And, you know, having a very basic website, my website is savekeensburg.com, which was my campaign motto as well, given what I viewed as our biggest concern was all these new developments that were coming in. And I knew that that would resonate with people, and it did. So those two factors were enormous. Again, the podcast episode that I did with Brandon Work in the Free State, Colorado, I was surprised how many people watched that, because you type in Aaron Lamb into YouTube, that's the first thing that pops up. So many people watched that, and I only had two people that had a negative reaction after it, because I definitely did say a couple things that are not milquetoast Republican talking points.
Yeah, probably.
of course, because it's another libertarian ally, so I felt comfortable. But it turned out really well. And then I did pay to get the voter data. That was one of the other expenses from the county. So I knew, so in Colorado, it's mail-in de facto. If you're registered to vote, you get your ballot in the mail about 3 weeks before the election. And you can pay the county a fee, and every 1 to 2 days, they'll send you an update, a huge Excel sheet with all the voter information who has already voted, who has received their ballots but hasn't turned them in yet. And then I was able to kind of pare down that list and focus on, of course, libertarians first, and then went down the Republicans, and then kind of sorted by age, going younger to older, because in my experience, a lot more younger people were likely to answer the phone rather than just let it go to voicemail. But those were very instrumental in my success.
Sounds like, of course, there've got to be a lot of towns like this across America that are roughly this size.
Certainly.
And that have elections like these where the incumbent probably isn't really expecting a full-blown campaign against him, because that's just not the way things have been done. It's not the way he got elected. And just as in your case, you had a guy who had run against a protest candidate, so it wasn't even really a run. And then you come along and you got a handful of hardcore libertarians ready to help you out. You got some money and you're determined and you're knocking on doors. And this guy didn't know what hit him. You got yard signs everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it seems like that, just that, could be replicated elsewhere.
Without a doubt. And I also must say that it is so important to be involved in the community before you start campaigning. And again, my biggest concern, what I viewed as my biggest detriment, is that I'm not a lifelong Keensburg resident. I had only been here approximately 18 months at the time of the election. And the previous mayor had been here since the mid-90s. So I kind of expected that just that outsider thing would have turned a lot of people off. But very fortunately, it was a huge asset for two reasons, I believe. One, the demographics of our town are changing. A lot of the older people are moving away with, of course, the crazy prices of houses right now. So many of them were able to sell for 5-6 times what they paid for initially, move closer to other family, they're getting older, downsizing, all of those reasons. So it brought this huge influx of new people that came here for the same reasons my wife and I did. So you didn't have that inbuilt old guard to continue voting for the previous mayor, because they didn't know who he was. And even some of the old timers, lifelong Keensburg residents, didn't know the name of the current mayor. A couple of them asked, oh, is Danny still the mayor? And Danny hasn't been the mayor for over 10 years at this point. So they're just not really involved either. And so it made it very easy for me to make my pitch to them. And again, it was well received. But again, also, I do want to talk about making those connections. I became good friends with the publisher of our local newspaper, which has the highest circulation rate of any paper in our county. It goes to every single door in town for free. And he allowed me to put an article in the paper, and all the other candidates as well. as often as I wanted to leading up to the election. And my opponent didn't write a single article. And I wrote 5 or 6 that were published and again, well-received, and many people became supporters through that directly.
What's the connection between the, as I just had Michael Heiss on not too long ago, his project Decentralized Revolution and your campaign? Is there any overlap?
Well, of course, my campaign came first. After I won, I did a debrief with some of the leaders in the LP Colorado, kind of talking to them what I thought worked well, how we can inspire other people to follow my model and focus on these small towns where we can actually win, where a relatively small amount of money, especially, you know, compared to state level campaigns, can have an disproportionately large impact to help get that person elected. And I was so encouraged, and would encourage each of your listeners to go to YouTube, watch Michael Heiss's video. That's what it's called, it's Project Decentralized Revolution. I think it came out about 2 weeks ago now, and it lays out exactly the model that I had already followed, focusing on these small towns, trying to avoid the bigger elections unless, you know, you have to for ballot access or these other kind of reasons. But really our focus and the majority of our spending should be on these local elections where we can actually win.
Hey folks, quick sponsor message. You have problems. My sponsor Persist SEO has solutions. So problem, you're getting buried by your competition online. Solution, build your brand, your reputation, and your lead flow with digital marketing by Persist SEO. Problem, you're a small local business and you're trying to compete against large companies in the service industry. Solution, increase visibility with Persist SEO. What about low or no leads coming in on a consistent basis? That's death for a business. So the solution is website search engine and conversion optimization that can help move the needle to a more prosperous business model for you. Problem, you're not showing up on the search engines for your services in your area. Solution, get found with Persist SEO's expert search engine optimization. And there are so many other ways Persist SEO can help you. All you have to do is call 770-580-3736 or visit them at ineedseo.help for a free website audit and consultation. That's 770-580-3736 or ineedseo.help.
Well, I am thrilled that I'm actually talking to a mayor who followed this strategy. And I guess I just can't get over, for me, it's a bit of a mischievous thrill, let's say, that I get from, you know, maybe the previous mayor was a perfectly good guy. You know, I don't know. Like a perfectly, you know, nothing wrong with the guy. But the fact that you just pulled the rug right out from under him and he didn't see what was coming. I love that. That's what I want to see replicated, is people just completely surprised. Wait a minute. Somebody's actually coming in here and running a campaign? Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Without a doubt. And part of what I've done in the meantime is I went through every single town in Weld County, again, where I'm at, and created a list of every town, when their elections are held, and what the last results were for the municipal elections, either Board of Trustees, Town Council, and the mayor, and was shocked at how many towns didn't have anybody running against the people. And there were a couple towns that had to cancel their election because they didn't have, let's say they had one mayor and 3 Board of Trustees spots, and they had one mayor candidate and 0 or 1 Board of Trustees candidates. So those positions, we libertarians can literally just walk in and sign up and you're on the board.
But here's the thing, with a town that small, how many things can you really do as mayor that would have a real libertarian angle to them?
Quite a bit, actually. I mean, it does depend in Colorado if it's a statutory town or if it's a home rule town. As you can imagine, a home rule town does have a lot more authority. Statutory towns, we have to follow the state guidelines that are laid out to describe all these different duties and things that are required of a statutory town. But there is still a lot that can be done. For instance, I've seen already some other small towns that are passing constitutional carry within their own town. Other things like bringing medical or recreational marijuana dispensaries into town, which in a lot of these small conservative towns in Colorado, after it became legalized, it was a knee-jerk reaction just to ban them. And they haven't come back around to address or look at this issue again. And in my experience, a lot of people that consider themselves very conservative Republicans at this point are a lot more open to it. And in my personal experience as a nurse, I took care of so many patients in their home, older people, Republicans, Democrats, you know, across the board that use marijuana, may not admit it publicly, but where we are, it's a 40, 45 minute drive to the closest dispensary. So if we brought something like that into town, then that would certainly increase town revenue, of course, but also bring some more liberty. We do have some control over the mill levy, which is the tax rate. We have control over just the general policy of the town. So we certainly can do quite a bit. Of course, I have a 4-year term, so I don't have to get too rushed about things.
Yeah.
So I'm focusing. I mean, the first thing that the board did within 15 minutes of us getting sworn in is chose not to reappoint the town manager, which had been in that role for 14 or 15 years and had, in my opinion, been the one actually running the entire show. And that was confirmed after I won. The prior mayor reached out to me, was very courteous, you know, congratulated me, wanted to have coffee, and had a good conversation. And at the end of it, I asked him, what do you view as my biggest challenge stepping into this role? And he just said one word, and that was the town manager's name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I said, okay. So then, of course, it's public. Everyone can go to townofkingsburg.org and watch the board meetings or on the YouTube channel and see how that went down. But it was a very big surprise to everyone. And going up until the actual vote, I wasn't confident that we had it. Even of my allies, there was one that was on the fence. But fortunately, he asked some questions and the answers were unsatisfactory. He was the first person on the roll call. He voted no. And then, you know, it was a done thing after that.
I guess the concern that I would have for you would be if you ran a non-ideological campaign. Well, okay, that's fair enough because you know that most of these people are Republicans and they're not going to mind if you suddenly introduce concealed carry or something.
Sure.
But if all of a sudden you're bringing cannabis dispensaries to the town, well, people may say, hold on, just a cotton picking minute. I voted for you because of the two issues, not for this crazy stuff.
Sure.
So you got to think about what your approach is going to be.
Without a doubt. And, you know, that's certainly something to worry about for reelection, if and when that comes around. But in the meantime, I mean, that's something that is meaningful and real that we could do if the other board members are on board. This is something that will probably wait until after the next cycle in 2024. We have 3 more Board of Trustee spots open. I'm very hopeful that people will learn that Kingsburg has a libertarian mayor and will choose to move here. And then we'll have almost, let's say, Free State Project West to get started in Weld County, given these other things that are already going on. And then, I mean, best case scenario, we get a full board and mayor that are all libertarians. As the board, we appoint the town officers, which include the manager, the attorney, you know, a few other positions, but those are, and the municipal judge is another huge, huge position that if we can get a libertarian attorney from Colorado that is interested, then that will make an enormous impact.
Well, it all sounds good. I mean, and I agree with you in effect that if it means I don't get reelected, well, I still would like to try to do the right thing. I mean, that is the right attitude. But I am just wondering if people would feel like it was a kind of bait and switch that you were this respectable guy who had some constructive ideas, and then you get in and you're this ideological radical.
Sure. Well, which again is why I haven't started down anything.
Yeah.
In that regard, and don't plan to, at least until the second or third year of my term, when people are comfortable, they know me more. But beyond that, I am very confident in convincing people and discussing that issue specifically. Again, like with my whole libertarian conversion story, that's where it all started for me. And so I have a lot of information and that can convince people, even people that you would never think in a million years.
Well, congratulations to you. What a nice story this is. How does your, I don't know if you have children, but you are married.
Yes, I'm married. I have a 4-month-old daughter.
Okay. What does your wife think about being married to the mayor?
She still can't believe it, honestly. And it almost didn't happen. Of course, she became pregnant in this time frame with trying to decide whether to run. I had discussed it with her after the meeting last year, and she was on board. She was okay with me doing it. Her main concern was the time constraints, understandably. And then when she was pregnant, she was having some difficulty, nothing major, but you know, just normal pregnancy issues. And she told me she doesn't want me to do it. And I was disappointed and said, okay. And you know, didn't really try and convince her otherwise, just it was fine. And then 2 or 3 months later, she brought it up. She said, hey, are you still planning on running for mayor? I was like, okay, I guess so. I thought you didn't want me to. But she's like, agreed that this was very important to save our town from becoming like so many of these other metro towns and cities where you have these developers come in. And this is what had been happening. Developers would come in, say, this is what we want to do. And the board would just rubber stamp it every time. And all of those contracts were negotiated beforehand through the previous town manager, because that's what her goals were. And in my opinion, it was, she viewed it, if our town grows this substantially, that will directly relate to her salary growing so substantially. And she was making $141,000 plus bonuses a year. And after we had won the election, but before that I was sworn in, she had negotiated with the board and they approved it that if we didn't reappoint her, we had to give her a 6-month severance package.
Oh.
And that was the final straw that convinced my fellow board member to vote no.
Wow. Well, what do we say to you other than, I'm probably going to have to go to the website to find out news from your town, because I probably won't be reading it through the AP unless you get extremely ambitious in the types of things you're doing. But
certainly,
I definitely am going to be following this with interest, because I hope, first of all, I hope it doesn't turn out to be crushingly devastating in terms of time spent so that you still are able to have a happy family life. But I do hope you're able to do some things that would be good for the town and good for our set of ideas. And I hope some people listening will, you know, maybe they live in a town like this and it just never occurred to them, wait a minute, doggone it, I could be the mayor and maybe I could get the taxes down and get things working around here. So maybe you'll inspire them. Is there a website? And of course, there's the town website, but I'd like to refer people maybe to your Twitter, or is there anywhere online you'd like people to follow you?
Yeah, Twitter would be easiest. And I would encourage anyone that has interest in this, that maybe is inspired by my story and it thinks that they could emulate it, please reach out to me. My Twitter handle is @Aaron_Lam, and that's Aaron_Lam. I'm more than happy to talk. That's actually was on the Libertarian Discord last night for the Mises Caucus and spoke with a candidate from Ohio for a couple hours, actually, about his race. And it is very early, and that's great to be looking this far ahead to try and do everything that you can to lay the framework so that you are prepared and you're ready to come in full force like I was able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, good for you, man. It's a nice story to see one of our people win. I love how you did
it. Thank you, Tom.
And hope things go real, real well for you there. Maybe I'll stop by. I do a lot of traveling, and I am hoping to get to Colorado again, at least sometime in the next 18 months, and you'll still be in office.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm very hopeful. Again, with the Project Decentralized Revolution, they have a tour that is going to be coming across the country. Currently, they don't have everything planned out, but it's supposed to be in Denver. I've been trying to get Michael Heiss to consider moving it to Keensburg, given, again, we're closer to the Denver International Airport than Denver itself is. And we have a really lovely event space that the Libertarian Party of Colorado held its convention last year that's in town that are owned by some libertarian-friendly people. So I think that would be absolutely wonderful and set a great example showing that this can happen. Libertarians can win.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I'll put your Twitter up also at tomwoods.com/2266. And thanks so much again. And by the way, I found out about you because I put on my own Twitter, I put this crazy tweet out saying, look, if you're an interesting person, maybe I'll have you on the Tom Woods Show. And most of the responses were, I'm not interesting. Well, okay, well, you don't have to say that. Just go to the next tweet. But then you said, well, I happen to be the mayor of a town. I thought, what? How is this possible? So anyway,
yes, sir.
I'm glad we talked. And maybe I'll be stopping by the town square or whatever you guys have one of these
days.
We have a
very lovely main street with, it's a great little spot. It has an old country bar that I'm quite sure hasn't been remodeled since 1912 or something along those lines.
Yeah, there's something charming about that.
Very, very charming. The people are lovely here. Very friendly.
Well, best of luck, Aaron. Thanks again.
Thanks again, Tom.
All right, folks, that is another episode of the Tom Woods Show. I will see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.